Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program is being aired for August 21st, 2021. We're going to be looking at why. You know, most all of the questions that I'm honored to get have to do with why. Why this? Why that, Greg? How come this? How come that? That kind of thing. Why is a very good question if you don't already have a prejudice about the answer? Now, a lot of people, I feel, ask me why, but they're really not interested in why. They just want to hear something they can oppose, something that they can be in opposition with. And so they kind of listen to me here on the radio, as it were, in these podcasts, and listen to me teach things that they don't believe in, and then they want to have a quasi-argument over the email system. And I don't do that. So please understand, my answers are my answers. Take them or leave them. I understand. I don't want to be contrary towards you, but there is a certain level of understanding that a person has to have, a certain acumen, some sense of awareness to understand the teachings and even this way of life. And so a lot of the problems that we see in our world today are there because of the way we handle answers to questions that really aren't questions to us. They're just trying to prove their own point. An honest question is a very beautiful thing. Something where a question is asked and it has to do with sincerity and wanting to know the authentic. And I love that. And I find that to be very kind and very meaningful. But the rest of it is just let's fight and see what you say. So I am answering three questions that I feel were offered by sincere people, people who really did want to know. How do I know this? By the totality of their email that I don't read to you. And I think it's important for you to understand that these sincere questions are from people who might be on the cusp of looking for something authentic. And that's what I'm looking for in people, a person who is living for the authentic. That's a very, very big thing to me. So hopefully I'll be able to help them. The first question, this one comes from Terry. She lives in San Pedro, California. Why is the way so difficult? It seems complicated and not in my lifestyle. And then she talks about the reach of her lifestyle, being that she's married, has kids, and doesn't have time for all of this, yet feels like it might be important. And that is the gist of her email. You know, Terry, I'm going to say this to you. I'm sure you'll understand. It is not meant as a slap. Believe me, it isn't. We run amok, all of us, in our human nature. And when we run amok, it's because our chemistry in our body, our endorphins and our just, you know, the testosterone of a male, the estrogen of a female, it has a great effect on us, a tremendous effect. And it affects the brain, it affects the body, it affects the urges, emotional urges that a person has. So when they are young and maybe supple and able to work upon themselves ever so slightly, the chemicals in the body overwhelm. And they overwhelm to such a degree that they force a person to emotionally feel this way and that way. And before you know it, it's all about the emotionality of the two people. And generally, it's about two things. Survival, of course, always being number one, DNA. And then the second part is, of course, reproduction. So with those two things in mind and being the most important, this is what people live by and this is what they act on. And so we complicate our life getting married to people we think we love at the time, but we really don't. And then having children to solidify that marriage that we're not too sure of. And the more children we have, of course, the more responsibility we have. And the more we have to take care of that responsibility because children are very important. So you start looking at your life and the mechanism for survival. And you have fulfilled your reproductive issues, as it were. And you have all these kids, and then you have to earn money to feed them, clothe them, educate them, hopefully. And you have all this stuff going on all over the place inside your head. With all this being said, what time do you have to put towards an authentic spiritual practice? None. So typically what happens, Terry, is people wear out. They find out that, my God, they're empty, they're hollow, their life is routine over and over and over again with kids. You know, it's about schedule and routine. And they live in that schedule and routine. The romance kind of goes down the tube a little bit there. And then you start looking at whomever you're married to, and the chemicals in your body start changing. And you start thinking, well, maybe this wasn't the best decision. I'm going to have to live it out. I'm not real happy about that, but I can't leave the children. I have to stay for the sake of them, you know, and on and on and on this craziness goes. And I mean, it is crazy, just crazy. And then people get miserable. They do things they wish they hadn't, say things they wish they hadn't said. And so on and on this goes. And then they look at maybe being religious. They think maybe that'll help. And sometimes these people who are quote unquote religious fall into hearing some of the things that people like myself talk about. And they hear the maybe idea that there could be another life, another love that lives inside them. They're eager for that because they don't want to go on the way they are. They can't stand this. They love their kids, maybe even think they love their wife or their husband. But boy, that's a tough one to sell sometimes based on what each of them has to do in order to survive. We then start looking at our lives and thinking, is this all there is? I don't get people when they're fresh and new. And when I do get them and they're young, they're so full of their testosterone and estrogen and opinions and all sorts of genetic issues, also their gender issues, their generational issues. It makes it really hard to say anything to them that would awaken them. They're more into the whole deal of wanting money to make their life better, thinking that if they listen to Tony Robbins and people like that, that they will finally get all the money they want and live happily ever after and that kind of thing. And so it all comes down to the means of survival, and that is typically money. And what can I say? Why does, Terry, you ask me why this all sounds so difficult, inner work? Because the human being of me makes it very, very difficult. The human being of Gregory, who wants this, doesn't want that. He's got genetic dispositions here and there, just like you do. It makes it very, very difficult. And so we adapt a philosophy to the genetic coding of our body and our mind, and we call that spiritual. That's really the whole thing. We just do what comes natural to our genetic coding. And at the end of the day, the end of the life, nothing is ever achieved. The person does not stay with a practice or finding out what the way of life is. They're not even interested in it. They're more interested in their survival and having fun and drinking and smoking marijuana and trying to avoid their problems through not medicine, but sometimes they're even put on medicine. Nothing works, and they live, they die, and repeat the whole thing over and over and over till one day they might get it, and that is very rare. So there you are. Terry, it's really not difficult. It's just challenging, to say the least. And I teach the way. It is not my way at all. It has to do with ancient teachings from Jesus, Buddha, Lao Tzu, great masters that live, Zen masters that live, that actually bring about the greatest beauty there is in this world, which is love. And that's all it is. And that shows you how far away we really are, that we don't want to admit that we really are. That's why, Terry, I wish you well in your life, and maybe one day you'll be able to drop the sword and come and join us, or awaken on your own terms, which is what most people do. Please forgive me. Namaste. It is not easy being in an authentic spiritual practice. If it were easy, the world would be very different than it is now. We wouldn't have the kind of leaders we have. We wouldn't be having all the problems in society that we have. But it means a lot of sacrifice, and people aren't willing to do that. They want the status quo. Okay, the next one comes from Haas. I wonder if you were named after... no, you wouldn't be named after that TV program. No. Anyway, why do you not believe in God? It seems that you're a godless person. And then he goes into I did a rant years ago, and I'll do the rant for you whenever you want it, but I'm not going to do it now, about God and the biblical God. And I have a hard time with that. So that's why he thinks I don't believe in God. Haas, I don't believe in your God, okay? That's really the truth of it. And I know your God is the more popular idea than the experience I have had with the energy that is called God. But it's just a matter of direct experience. I was as surprised as anyone else. When I was a little boy, I was very much into the whole idea of this God. Not the one you have, of the God of wrath and hell and damnation and all of that. But I did believe that there was something in charge here. Well, it doesn't work that way, so I found out. It works another way. And it doesn't diminish the presence of God in our life. It just is a different way of introducing God into our livingness. And we don't have that. So my answer to you is, I don't believe in your idea of God, how you think of God, maybe a Christian God, which is what you talk about. I'm just not into that. That's not what my experience has been. It isn't that I'm being contrary. It just is not my experience. It's not something I have ever... I can only teach what I have experienced and what I know. That's the best I can tell you. And the experience of what you call God and I call God are two different things. For you, it's more human. For me, it's more of mathematics. It's more of harmony. It's more of music. It's more of tone. It's more of light. It is not personal. And my problem with the Christian God is it's always very personal. And I don't see the personal thing that you do. It isn't true. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, believe me. So when we're talking about God, you're talking about something that you are more prejudiced upon than I might be in looking at it as a bigger picture. So there's my answer, Haas. And I love your question. It's a really good one. And I know that how people interpret me, and I'm very aware of it. Believe me, I get enough emails about it. So please understand, I am not here to please the crowd or to confer that your thoughts are right or wrong. They're just your thoughts about the given subject. And I am offering another door. Okay, that's it. That's all it's about. I hope that helps you, Haas. Yeah, I wonder if you were named after the Ponderosa. It was an interesting TV program in the 60s. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question is from Carol. She does not tell me where she lives. Why are we all afraid? Carol. And she goes into why we're afraid of life, death, everything. Why fear motivates people. She asks that question. Fear motivates most of us, Carol. We are a bunch of fearful people because we live in hate and fear. We live in the confines of the body, which is constantly deteriorating at all. Every minute of your life, it's deteriorating. It reaches a peak and then it dies away. And it goes through that process. So there is a deep-seated fear in the body of its own death. And the funny part about that is, and I don't mean ha-ha funny, but the ironic part, is that it will do all the things that will kill it while being afraid of its own death and trying to avoid the fact of its death, eventual death, that is, and never think another thing about it. Where people eat bad food, they smoke cigarettes and marijuana and drink. That's the big one. Boy, people love to drink. And not to mention all the drugs that people have to take because they don't know the meaning of their life. They don't know the way of their life, and they aren't interested in any of that. They just want to avoid death. They want to avoid whatever it is that is what they're afraid of, which is typically death. And even if they think they're not, they are, because when the moment happens, they don't want to die. I work at hospice, believe me, and I've had many a person say to me, I didn't think I was afraid of death, but I certainly don't want to die, yada, 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 that kind of thing. So it's, if you live from the human body, you're going to be afraid of death. It just is. There's going to be a part of you and a part of Greg that is going to feel very afraid of dying, because dying means the end of all of their mischief and their craziness. And we enjoy our mischief and we enjoy our craziness to the nth degree. So as long as I'm enjoying all of that and my mind is telling me there's more, we could do more, we could have more fun, blah, 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 all of that other stuff, that there's going to be fear. And then fear is about being hurt, survival, DNA, it's all involved in that too. So when you start to look at your life and being captivated by your body, incarcerated by it, as it were, and how we live in that incarceration, without question, just trying to put flowers around the prison cell that we live in of human body, and not really discovering what it is and how it works and how it functions and how we can help it, nurture it, and take good care of it. We go out and try to destroy it and then say we're afraid that we're going to die. And that's just ridiculous. We're a bunch of hypocrisy, and that's why there's so much fear in the world, because there is so much hypocrisy. Just a ton of it, and it's sad. I gotta go. I'm running out of time. Thank you for your beautiful question, Carol. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'll be back on the air tomorrow with more questions. If you have any, greg@aspire.org is my email address. greg@aspire.org. Any question is game, baby. So email me. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.